pray here in a second. You can open your Bibles to Matthew 25 and verse 14. You know, when I sent that slick text out saying that I wait on God, and I do, I take it very, very seriously what we need to hear because He knows best. And see, here's the thing about it is this is the part of your life that if you'll avail yourself to it and if you'll apply the Word to your life, it will change literally every area of your life. Now, you know why a lot of people aren't changed and their lives just stay the same or get worse and keep getting more sickness and keep getting more poverty and things? It's because they don't avail themselves to this or they don't apply it to their lives. It's just the truth because the Word works. God's Word is power. God's Word is Him. And I know I'm living proof of it. You know, I came in a mess as a Christian. Addictions, poverty, depression, fear and anxiety, sickness in my body. And it literally, the Word literally touched every area of my life and changed it. And made it better. So this is the part of your life right here that everything else, until you get the revelation that everything else needs to center around this time in your life, you won't get God's highest and best because this is the avenue it comes through. The preaching and teaching of the Word, the hearing of it, the applying of it, and then watching everything change. That's just the best way I can put it. Praise God. And when the pastor literally hears from heaven on what to share, that's specific orders from headquarters on what God wants to get you in your life to work and change and correct things and encourage it and help you in different areas. So let's be changed this morning. Praise God. Father, we're just so grateful. Father, we honor the Word around here. Lord, I'll not stop shouting it from the rooftops. I'll not stop banging the drum on people needing to be here to hear this because this is how people are changed. Lord, I'm so tired as a pastor at times and so brokenhearted seeing people struggle and suffer, people that I love, and it's unnecessary. And it's just because they need to make some small adjustments, small priority changes in their life, just some small tweaks, and things would be completely different for them. No, sickness is not normal. It's not just normal to keep getting sick. It's not just normal to keep struggling financially. It's not just normal to feel like things are always against you and that things never work out and that you don't have favor. That's not normal. The normal life for the Christian ought to be favor. The normal life for the Christian ought to be health and wealth and blessing and prosperity and increase and joy and peace and doors opening, not slamming shut in their face all the time. But Father, it only comes through the avenue of the Word. So I pray, Father, as we go into the Word this morning, Lord, You have a purpose for this service. You want to change people's lives. So I thank You as I open my mouth, You'll fill it with words from heaven. Lord, I thank You I'll speak as the oracles of God, with boldness and with utterance. Father, I'll hit bullseyes in the hearts of every listener here this morning. And we will walk out of here changed. We will never be the same when we're in the presence of Your Word. We thank You, Father, for our help today. We thank You for encouragement. We thank You for instruction. We thank You for revelation. We thank You for answers. And we thank You for correction if need be. And Father, we honor the Word. We say we honor the Word by we're hungry for it. We're ready for it. Father, speak to us this morning. And we'll give You the praise and we'll give You the glory for it. Father, it's only Your Word that can supernaturally transform a sickness into health, from poverty into supply and increase, Father, from depression into joy, from fear into courage, Father God. So we thank You that the Word will do a work in our lives here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. It just comes down to making an adjustment of what you do avail yourself to because you avail yourself to something. You avail yourself to something. But a lot of times it's the wrong thing. God's got so much more for you. Praise God. Well, in Matthew 25 and verse 14, I was praying this weekend what to share. And I'm so thankful what the Lord put on my heart to share because it's an area where people struggle so much. And remember the text I sent yesterday? I said we're going to, I sent it to Allegheny because I preached the same thing. I said we're going to learn to be skillful in an area that we can't have success if we're not skillful in an area. It says in Matthew 25, 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man." So he's saying the way God does things can be found, and the way God looks at things, the way God thinks about things, can be found in this story that Jesus is telling us. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto the one servant he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, To every man according to his several or his ability he gave them, and straightway took his journey. Then when he had received the five talents, he that received the five talents, so he gives one servant five, one servant two, one servant one, he goes his way. And the one that had the five talents, verse 16, went and traded them with the same and made five more talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also went and gained two more. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came back and reconciled with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought the other five talents, saying, Lord, now there's ten, you know. Lord, you delivered unto me five. Behold, I've gained five more besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He that also received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me unto two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, and here you have that is yours. Basically, I'm giving it back to you. His Lord answered and said, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reaped where I sowed not and gathered where I had not strawed. You ought to have at least put my money to the exchangers. Then at my coming, I should have received my own, the one he already had, with usury, with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has ten. For unto every one that has shall be given. And he shall have abundance, but to him that has not, be taken away even that which he has. So we see here three different people, and it's the kingdom of heaven. So you could say God's, it's the servants, the Lord represents the Lord and God. The servants represent us. And, you know, I love what Pastor Nancy, if you were at the meetings or heard them, she talked about how we want to hear at the day we stand before Jesus, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And a lot of times you focus on the faithful part. We want to be found faithful, but it doesn't just say, well done, faithful servant. It says, well done, good and faithful servant. And she was talking about how if somebody were to say you're good at your job, that means you don't stink at your job. That means you know what to do at your job and you excel at your job. And she used the word that somebody that would be considered a good employee would be skillful in what they do. I would not be a very, would be categorized as a good mechanic. I'm not very skillful. I wouldn't be a good doctor. I wouldn't be skillful in that arena. But when it's talking about, well done, thou good and faithful servant, we can see in this parable that they were faithful, but they were also good. They were skillful with what their Lord had given them, right? They were skillful enough to go and increase and to bring back more, right? They were skillful with that. They did what their Lord said to do with, and they made the best of it. Hallelujah. And notice the one that wasn't skillful. Not only what the one had, he said that even they that don't have, even what they do have, the little they do have, it's going to be taken from them. Well, we don't want to be that way, praise God. Now, why am I saying this? Because the Lord told me an area, one of the facets of an area we're going to look at today to help you become skillful in. Because just like this is telling us that the Lord gave some things, and what was the Lord's attitude or the Lord's perspective was, I expect you to do something with what I gave you. I expect you to be skillful. I expect you to profit from that. I expect you to increase from that. I don't expect you to stay the same. I don't expect you to go backwards. I expect what I give you, because it's good, to bless your life and to help you. Well, go to Romans 12:3. I want to show you something that God has given us. And we can see from what we just looked at that when God gives us something, He expects us to do something with it. Romans 12 and verse 3 says this, for I say, though the grace is given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Now notice this end statement in this verse. According as God has dealt, or you could say it this way, God has given every man. Now you have to understand that's talking about ladies as well, mankind. Every man. Well, what does that mean? That means you. That means me. God's given something to everybody. Well, what has God given to everybody? The measure of faith. So he's given you a measure of faith. God has given you a measure of faith. You no longer can say, I don't have faith. You can no longer buy into that lie from the enemy when you're facing something that you don't have faith. Now, you might think to yourself, well, Pastor Mike, I don't have enough faith. And I've been quoted as saying this, but I need to further explain what I'm saying. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And you know, when we have guest ministers in and they have a product table out in the foyer, what do I always say? You need to get this stuff in your life. You need to listen to it. Why? Hearing equals faith. Faith equals victory. And I'll say, the more you hear, the more faith you'll have, the more victory you'll have. Now, let me qualify that statement. I'm not talking about more faith in the sense that you have this account over here and you get faith and your faith level, you know, you ever see like when they have those funding projects for things and they have the little thing that comes down and they have at the bottom it says 10 or 20, then 30, it goes up, whatever the amounts they're believing for. I'm not talking about your faith level. Well, it's in there, and when my faith level hits a certain level, then God's going to say, okay, they have enough faith now, now I'll move. It's not about having more faith, it's about having the faith that you have, making sure that you're in faith and that your faith is strengthened and fortified. It's not about let's just build our faith up and get God to do something for us. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, go with me real quick to Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Now remember, I want to show you something. Light bulbs will go off when I tell you this. Remember, God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. So we don't know how big that measure is, and we have to do something with that measure. We have to increase that measure, increase the strength of that. But in Matthew 17, verse 20, I want to show you something here. This will bless you. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith. Well, do you have faith this morning? You do. The Bible says he's dealt to you every man a measure of faith. He said, if you would have faith the grain of a mustard seed. Now, for those of you that don't know, and for those of you that do know, how big is a mustard seed? Hold up with your little fingers. I mean, it's tiny, right? Jesus said, if you just have faith as a mustard seed. Well, now that doesn't sound like a big tank filled up with a faith reserve. That's not, see, a lot of people, they approach faith without a relationship with God, and it's just like, I just got to hear, I just hear the word, because the pastor said, if I hear it, faith will come, and if I just get enough faith, then God will do something. No, that doesn't, just because you hear the word doesn't mean you're in faith. There's a difference between hearing and listening and soaking it up and getting it inside of you. But he said, I've dealt to you faith, and Jesus said in this verse, if you just have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'll say under the mountain, what's the mountain? That which is in your way. That which is causing you trouble. That which is blocking you from getting to where you need to go. That which is standing in where you can't see to the other side of what you need. It's in your face. It looks big. It looks strong. It looks rugged. It looks hard. It's like the impossible staring at you and yelling at you. He said, if you just would have faith, you, the size of a mustard seed, that's a small measure. He said, you'd say unto the mountain, remove from here to a yonder place, and it would remove, and nothing would be impossible for you. If you would just have faith as a mustard seed. Well, I got good news for you. The Bible says God has dealt a measure of faith to you, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that I'm guessing that the measure of faith that he gave me is at least as big as a mustard seed. What am I trying to tell you? On the inside of you right now, you have what it takes to get past every single mountain that stands in your way. Every mountain of sickness, every mountain of disease, every mountain of financial lack, every mountain of depression, every mountain of fear, every mountain of opposition, inside you right now is enough faith to call that thing gone and to move. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But why then do some fail to receive? Why then, if God has dealt this mountain-moving force to every person? See, because it's not about having a whole stockpile tank full of faith. It's just about you being in faith, because faith itself is so powerful that even a mustard size of it can move mountains. That's what he's saying. So it's important for you to get into faith. But why then don't people receive? Well, just because you have something doesn't mean you're skillful with it. That one had a talent. Now, we saw what the other people did with skill with their talent. They took their talents and made more. Well, the one that had the one, he could have taken that talent if he was skillful with it and made more talents. But he wasn't skillful with it. But he had what the Lord gave him. His children have faith. God's given you faith. You have faith on the inside of you to move mountains. But why aren't mountains moving for people? Why do more mountains just keep popping up and overtaking people? Because they're not skillful with it. Caleb this past summer bought himself a compound bow from our Amish friends. We got him one that, he got one. He still owes me some money on it. But we got him one that is going to last him pretty much through a teenager. He can grow with it and hunt with it and things. And he's got that bow, and I'm not trying to pick on him or be mean to him. But he has a compound bow. But I'm going to tell you right now, he ain't skillful with it. The under the ground knows that. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, the arrows are supposed to hit the bag, but a lot of them are hitting the ground and sinking, and we're not finding them. That's not skillful. Daddy's much more skillful with the same weapon. Daddy's much more skillful with it. I can go back to 60, 70 yards and hit a target like this consistently. He can't do that. He can't even stand from me to this chair away and hit a target consistently. You got to practice with that, don't you? You got to get better with it. He's just not skillful with it. Well, so what that you have faith? If you don't become skillful with your faith, it won't benefit you. And here the whole time, you have what it takes to remove that sickness, to remove that poverty, to remove that trouble and that trials. But if you're not skillful with it, it won't matter. But we know by that story that God expects you to do something and to be skillful with it, praise God. So the Lord told me yesterday when I was seeking Him what to share, said to teach them about being skillful in an area of faith. So let's go to Hebrews 6 and verse 12. I'm going to teach you some things that will bless you and help you and really, really set you free if you'll apply the word to your life. Yes, I know by the Spirit of God that right now there are some in here that are just passing the time and just trying to get done with this service so they can get out of here. I know it by the Spirit of God. But that's okay. You can just stay broke and you can just stay sick. God's offering you better. What is it going to take? How rock bottom does someone have to get before they realize God's ways may be best? Amen. Praise God. Forgive me for my boldness. I've been sitting listening to someone else preach all week, and I feel like a bull in a gate ready to just... Praise God. But you know what I found out about Pastor Nancy? She doesn't candy coat things. She doesn't tiptoe around things. Why? The truth sets us free. Sugary candy coated fluffer nutter sandwich sermons do not set you free. You need someone to tell you the way you're going is wrong and there's a better for you. And if you want better, it's available. And here's how to get it. Amen. Praise God. That's just the truth. Hebrews 6:12. Stop interrupting me. Tried to get there and you made me spew all that. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Notice this. How did you get saved? Well, remember in Ephesians 2 and verse 8 it says, for by grace are you saved. By grace are you saved. But it's God's grace, is His mercy, His power, His ability, His strength, His might. But it comes through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And so, yes, it takes God's grace, but it takes your faith. Now look at this. It says the promises of God are received by faith. Faith is how you tap in or access what God has for you. You could say it this way. Faith is like the currency of heaven. Just like when you go to Walmart And you go to pay, you can't pay with a smile, you can't pay with a compliment, you can't pay with, bring in something to trade with them. You have to pay with the currency to get the goods, right? Well, in heaven, God's got everything you need, or the blessings, the grace that flows through Him gives you the ability to have everything you need. And I always like it this way, the heavenly store on the shelf back there, you know, there's healing on that shelf. There's protection on that shelf. There's provision on that shelf. There's anything that you need on that shelf, and the way that you access those is you show up to pay for those with the right currency, and the currency's faith. He says, by faith we receive the promises of God. Amen. If you'll apply faith to every situation, it's got mountain moving ability in it to take whatever situation you're going through and to change that thing. Why? It's power packed. Because true faith, you have to understand this now, true faith has God's grace on it. Amen. That's why things change. That's why things move. It's not because of you. You just laid the pipeline of faith for God's mercy to flow, God's grace to flow, God's healing to flow, God's provision and favor to flow through that thing. But that's what faith can do, praise God. Hallelujah. But notice this. It doesn't say that you be slothful, but followers of them who through faith inherit the promises. It says through faith and something else. That means they go together. If you give me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you know what I'm assuming? Because you say, here's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm assuming that there's not just peanut butter on that bread. I'm assuming there's not just jelly on that bread because you said peanut butter and jelly. I'm assuming if I open that thing up or take a bite in it that I'm going to taste peanut butter and jelly. He said that you receive the promises of God through faith and patience. They go together. Faith and patience. And the Lord said, teach them how to be more skillful in the area of patience. And I'm here to tell you, as a pastor, in dealing with people, the patient side of faith is where the people trip up. It's where the people stumble. It's where the people fumble the ball. It's where the people faint. It's where the people give up. It's where the devil can come in and manipulate and lie and twist things and void out what you're believing God for. Now, if you keep reading in Hebrews 6 and verse 12, it goes on and talks about faith inheriting the promise of God with patience. But then he explains the patient side in verse 13. He says, when God made a promise to Abraham, now what promise was he talking about? He told an old man, you're going to have a baby, you and your old lady. That was literally an old lady. Literally she was. That wasn't. I'm not being demeaning or derogatory. Sarah was an old lady. And God said, you're going to have a baby. That was a promise from him. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. Now remember, we receive the promises of God through faith and patience. They go together. Well, did patience play a part in Abraham's receiving that promise? It did in verse 15. And so after he, Abraham, had patiently endured. You see that there? He obtained the promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. The promise of God needs to be mixed with faith and patience for it to come to pass. That should tell you that your healing may not be automatic right after you pray, or right after hands are laid on you, or after you release your faith, you know, for finances. Things might not change right away. There's a patiently enduring from when God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to him about having a child, right? When he patiently endured, then it showed up. Didn't happen automatically. Didn't happen right away. Why? Faith and patience. Faith and patience. But notice it says, when he patiently endured. Ladies and gentlemen, faith is an endurance race. Have you ever heard of those ultra marathons that people do? Those ultra endurance races? You know, a marathon in itself was an endurance race for me, but they have these 50-mile races, 100-mile races, 150-mile races. I've heard of a 250-mile race where people run it nonstop. How many of you know that's endurance? That's endurance. That takes some time to get to the finish line. Hallelujah. And see, I made this statement last night, and it's the truth. I have good news for you. We think of those 250-mile races, and we think, my goodness. But let me tell you the truth on something. Every single one of us could register for that race. Every single one of us could sign up for that race, get the number pinned to your chest, you know, walk to the starting line, and be excited to run that race. Every single one of us could do that. And every single one of us could get there and get ready to go through. And the gun could sound, or they could say, go, blow the whistle, whatever they do. And you can start taking off on that race. But let me tell you something. There's going to be mile one is going to feel different than mile zero. And mile two is going to feel different than mile one. And mile three and mile four and mile 40 and mile 80. It's going to be different, right? What am I saying? The race is not won at the starting line. Where's the race really won or the race really finished? It's not at the finish line, because the finish line is the manifestation. The race is won in the middle, in the endurance part. If you can endure, if you can be patient, if you can make it, if you can get to it, you'll cross the line and receive your reward. Amen. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to faith. It is so easy to sign up for faith. It is so easy to start at the starting line. When I come in here and I preach fire to you about healing, and you're going through something in your body, and you see in the Word that God wants you healed, and God wants you delivered, and God wants your body set free, faith rises up on the inside of you. Why? Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And you get fired up, and you get excited, and you make a declaration in your mind, and you take a stance and say, this is the end. My healing's coming. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what the doctors say. And you start out, and you're ready to run that race, but that's not where the race is won. What happens when you go home, and you're laying in bed at night, and the same symptoms plague your body? What happens when you wake up a day after being fired up and releasing your faith and nothing's changed? Maybe you feel even worse. What happens when 3 months go by, 6 months go by, 9 months go by? Are you as excited? Are you as in faith as you were in the starting line? Because if you want to get to the manifestation, you have to endure. It's easy to get fired up financially when you're going through financial hell. And Pastor Mike preaches about the all-providing God. It's easy to get fired up when Pastor Mike talks about God being on your side, and anybody that opposes you, and God's for you, no one can be against you, and you get faith, and then you go out and you face the opposition of the people and the pressure that's coming against you. What is then your reaction? Do then you start mixing the wrong things in, and after 6 months go by and your symptoms are worse and the doctor says nothing's changed, I must just not have received it. Bam, you just voided your faith out. You just got disqualified from the race. You just dropped out. Abraham had to patiently endure. He said, is that a thing? Well, go to Galatians 6 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. The race is not won at the beginning. The beginning's the easy part. In fact, we could all sign up and get ready to run a million-mile race. That's not the hard part. Signing up and showing up is not the hard part. Enduring in that million-mile race, that's going to be our struggle. And the struggle is not the beginning for faith for people. It's going through. It's going through those quiet times laying in your bed at night. When the devil's on your chest with a machine gun, thought machine gun, right into your mind. You're not going to be healed. This is never going to change. What do you do then? Waking up day after day and nothing's changing. What are you going to do then? That's where people drop the ball. And they fumble their faith. They start out like a ball of fire. Listen, when the quarterback hands the ball to the running back, that's the easy part. Where's the hard part? When they hit those 300-pounders on the other side, right? And people are trying to get that ball, and they're hitting them all different places. Can they get into the touchdown's right there, 5 yards away. Set hut, here you go. That's not hard. This isn't hard for the running back. Running is not hard for the running back. When it gets to be a struggle is when they hit that opposition. When you're in church and I'm preaching to you and filling you full of faith and you're excited you walk out of here, that's like me handing the ball to you. But guess what? Nighttime's coming. Morning's coming. The next day's coming. The bank report's coming. Opposition's coming. Thoughts are coming. Symptoms are coming. Doctor's reports are coming. Then what do you do with it? Because the Word says, Hebrews or Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, please. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, there's a season of reaping. See, you have to understand something about your Father in heaven. This is the wrong attitude, and you won't have faith if you think of him this way, that God is just dangling, oh, just a little longer, I just want to keep you waiting. This is funny. Just that, no. The Bible says he's always ready to pounce and to bless you. It's not him that the problem lies with. Sometimes it's us. We have not really kicked ourselves over into faith. Got to be sober about that. The Bible says let a man judge himself, whether we be in the faith or not. We have to check up on ourselves. Are we really in faith? Hallelujah. Sometimes there's opposition that's holding back that promise. And that's why Paul said this. He said, I press. I reach towards the mark. There's a mark. It's called the blessing. Sometimes there's a pressing. Sometimes there's a reaching, going through some things. Wouldn't that be nice if the running back just got the ball and just walked right into the end zone? No, there's opposition there. Ready to keep you out, praise God. Sometimes there's specific timing on issues. I think about our house, you know, and it was June of 2012 where it was agreed upon and signed that she was selling us the house. Mrs. Anderson was her name, and she was going to sell us the house. We didn't get into the house until March of 2013. And all along the way, you know, God had said this is our house, it's coming to pass. It's looking like, naturally, like, what's going on? Like, what's the problem here? There was no problem. Behind the scenes, God was working some things, and when we got into the house, with our old house and what was going on with her and just different things, we look back and we say, thank God we didn't get into the house until March of 2013. But June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, almost 10 months. That's not usually how long it takes a house to close. The thoughts are coming. Oh boy, and pressure's coming. But just keep, what I'm going to help you today, being skillful in the area of patience. Amen. Praise God. But look what it says in Galatians. Due season, you'll reap. You'll reap if you faint not. Well, again, none of us are fainting at the starting line. That's when we're most excited. That's when we're most ready. The fainting comes at mile 20, mile 5. It'd be different places for different people. But we can't afford to faint ever. Some people faint after the first day mark. Some people faint after a week mark. Some people faint after a month. Some people faint after 6 months. Listen, Pastor Nancy said something that's so true. And when you truly get into faith, when you're truly in faith, where you are persuaded and fully convinced that God's going to do it, the time and the calendar don't mean squat to you anymore. And I've realized this, a revelation, that until the time and the calendar doesn't mean anything to you anymore, you really aren't in faith. Because the person that's in faith has already received it. And so when the 6 months go by for a person in faith, they're not moved. They're not fainting. God is faithful. When a year goes by, when time goes by, when it looks like nothing's changing, you're not moved for the person that's truly in faith. But that's going to be the opportunity to get moved. The opportunity to get moved is not when you walk out of here after a financial message, after a God's provision message, after a healing message. That's when you're fired up, raring, and ready to go. But like I said, nighttime's coming. When you're alone with your thoughts and Pastor Mike's not there shouting at you and encouraging you and pumping you up. And the devil starts doing what Pastor Mike does, shouting at you, filling you with the wrong things. And then you wake up and the circumstances are real and you can feel things and you can see things and you can hear things. That's going to be the opportunity to faint. He wouldn't have told you that if you don't faint, you'll receive if there wouldn't be opportunities to faint. Right. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to faint, but they're not at the starting line. Right. Yeah. And at the finish line, that's the rejoicing. The time to faint is from starting to manifestation. And that's where people miss it. And God said, help them be more skillful. So are you ready to be more skillful? Amen. Now, how this will help you, it'll change your life. If you're facing something right now, and you could say, I'm in faith, excuse me, but nothing's changing, nothing's happening. You need this message.
Amen.
You need this message. For those of you that are going to go into faith projects and move in different things, you need this message, and you're going to remember. I remember when Pastor Mike taught me how to be skillful in this area, because what the Holy Ghost gave me today in this message, it has changed my life.
Amen.
Coming out of the Pastor Nancy meetings, I'm different. And I'm just telling you here with this message here today, when you're going through something in faith, this is the danger zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
The space and time from when you released your faith to when it shows up is the danger zone. The danger zone's not the end zone. The danger zone's not when the quarterback and the running back are in cahoots and he's handing the ball. That's not the danger zone. The danger zone is from the time it's handed off to the time it's in the end zone. In between there, that's the danger zone. Amen. So I want to help you to be more skillful. Go with me to Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. Praise the Lord. That revelation, you don't know that revelation until you actually kick yourself over into faith. And then whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is that hasn't shown up, you're not even concerned with the time in the calendar. But that won't happen until you get into faith. Because if you are concerned with the time in the calendar, you're not in faith. And I've had to learn that the hard way in things. I've had to learn that the hard way. I've had to have the Holy Ghost correct me. I mean, I've argued against that in my own mind. But I'm telling you what, I'm here to tell you, it's true. Faith don't care when you're in faith. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Ladies and gentlemen, change always comes through this avenue. So the way that we're going to get you to be skillful in that time frame of releasing to manifestation is to get you to renew your mind. What does it mean to renew your mind? It means to think different. But what do you mean, think different? What do you want me to think like? I want you to think God thoughts. Remember in James chapter 1, James wrote this, he said, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word." Well, what is the word? The word is God's thoughts. The word is God's ways. The word is how God thinks, how God views things, what's God's take on things. It says, receive that word. When you receive that word, it's able to save or transform your soul. Well, that soul there is not talking about your spirit, because it's already written to born-again Christians. It's talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions of a person. Well, in Romans, he says, you want to be transformed or changed? Changed from what? Sickness to health. Poverty to prosperity. Whatever to whatever. From anything bad or negative that's outside the boundaries of what God has said you could have to what God says you can have. How does that change come? It comes through transforming the mind. Well, how do you renew the mind? James told us, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Because when you receive the word, what are you receiving? God's thoughts. What's he trying to do by receiving, to get you to receive his thoughts? He's trying to get your mind to be completely changed and transformed to think how he thinks in every situation.
Amen.
Go with me to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. If you were in the meetings, we were on this verse a lot in the meetings, or if you got watch our live stream. Joshua 1 and verse 8. Praise God. Look at this book of the law, talking about the Word of God. Now remember, what can the Word do? Save your souls. What's your souls? Your mind. How do you be transformed and changed? Listen, money's not your problem. That same lady that was in Fredonia, that bold lady, I had the pleasure of her standing in front of me about this far away from me in Canada when I went up the night before because Dr. Dufresne called out, if you're having, I can't remember if it was severe financially, whatever word it was, I went up for it with another pastor, and at the next day, Pastor Nancy stood right in front of me and said, "Money's not your problem," in front of the whole church. Money's not your problem, your mind is. You're not transformed by more money. Well, the verse before that, you're not transformed by more money. You're transformed by the renewing your mind. You think that you need more money to get into prosperity. No. If you'll renew your mind, it'll bring the money.
Amen.
You think that healing's your problem. It's not. Your mind is your problem. Because transformation comes through the renewing of the mind. That's how it gets everything else transformed into what his image is and what the word says. Well, how do you transform? What do you do? He said, receive with meekness. Joshua 1:8 is your recipe for the renewing of the mind. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate therein. Notice this, day and night. Day and night. Renewing the mind. Remember when I talked about my Amish friends coming in and renewing and restoring or renewing my office? They didn't come in and work 5 minutes and then leave for the day. No, they did that room needed severe restoration, severe renewing. And so what'd they do? They spent day and night in that room consistently until it was changed and transformed. He says, the book of the law shall not depart of your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night that you observe to do according to all therein. For then, and not before then, your way will be made prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Amen. Praise God. That's the fruit of faith, prosperity, and good success. That's what faith can bring you. But why does the word translate into prosperity and good success? Because when you are in the word day and night, there's a renovation going on. There's a renewal going on. The mind's being renewed. And you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you start thinking different about your finances, when you start thinking different about your body, start thinking different about your situations, thinking like what? God's thoughts.
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm going to give you three things here. This service started out against us for time as soon as Miranda walked into the nursery. That's what happened. She walked into the nursery and an anointing came in for me to preach longer. But you need to hear these three things, because I'm telling you, if you think you're just going to get from God just because you're His child and because He feels bad for you and things are so hard and because you need it, you are sorely mistaken. You only reap if you don't faint. See, God's in heaven not fainting over your situation. You want to know why God's not fainting over a situation? Because He's the Word. What's that mean? He's already renewed. His thinking, His ways are already renewed to the right way. Well, I want to renew your mind to the right way. Are you ready? Three things that we have to renew our minds to in the patience part of our faith journey. Number one, we already looked at this. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, but this is, we already saw that faith, or I should say in Hebrews 6 and verse 12, remember that verse said, faith and patience. God showed us it takes patience too. Here you go. Number one. I can't say this enough is what I'm trying to say. You need to renew your mind that the patience part of faith is absolutely normal. Now you think, that doesn't sound very groundbreaking. Oh, when you're in your patience part and the devil's lying his face off to you and your body and your circumstances are telling you stuff, it's going to start tripping you up, because when 6 months go by, if your mind's renewed to this, you say, so what that 6 months went by? Patience is just part of the thing. But if your mind's not renewed to it and 6 months go by, what's wrong with me? Did I not receive? What is God not on this? Is this not God's will? And then what'd you do? You fainted and you dropped out of the race. You don't get a reward for dropping out of the race. You get a reward from enduring and make it to the finish line. Now, it's important for you to know and to recognize and to be completely sold out that it's normal. And you should be thankful that I'm telling you that it's normal. Because when you're in that battle, you're going to be thankful to remember, because the devil's going to tell you, 6 months, it's a year. God, what's going on? And when your mind's renewed to normal, you say, doesn't matter. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. I had some tests done a while back. And they put me through some machine, I can't remember what it was, but they hooked like an IV and they pumped some stuff in me. And I'm so glad what the technician told me before I went in there. He said, now you are going to feel like you're peeing your pants.
Yeah.
That's what he said to me. Raise your hand if you've had that procedure done. Well, I'm here to tell you, when he said that, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't really understand. I thought, that seems silly. And then I got in the thing and started feeling warmth. I thought, am I peeing my pants right now? But I knew that I wasn't, because he told me. But think about this now. Had he not told me that feeling is normal, I'm telling you right now, I'd have been freaking out in that tube. I would have been thinking, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? Right? Would you have been? Like, is he going to think I'm afraid of the tube? Did I get nervous? Like, what's going on? And you know, I got out and I was like, I've had a feeling. But the point was, I got out of there, I wasn't nervous, didn't wig out and get all concerned. It's the same thing with patience. When you know that it's part of the process, you won't all of a sudden lose your mind at the 8-month mark, at the 2-week mark. I mean, things are so bad, sometimes we think they ought to just change. Faith and patience. And if you don't know that, you'll get out of faith and you'll drop out of the race. Caleb needs to renew his mind of some things. I let him stay home from school on Friday and we went deer hunting. Down in Pennsylvania, they have a program for youth when they're 7 years old. They can hunt in a mentor program. I wish New York State would do it. But I won't get on my soapbox about that. They let them hunt down there. And so we went down to Pennsylvania to go hunting. And we sat there for 3 hours, didn't we? And, you know, after 3 hours, he's ready to get up and move around. I told him, I said, buddy, that's not how you're going to kill a deer. Now, can you kill a deer, get up moving around? Yes, but not like a 9-year-old moves around. They're not as quiet, not as stealthy, you know. He said, I want to go move around. I said, all right, that's fine. I don't care. It's better to me. He said, but you're not going to kill a deer this way. And he's walking, and, oh, there's a deer. I'm like, yeah, look at its tail running away from us over the hill. He's like, let's go around here. And I'm like, buddy, that deer is gone. You're not going to kill a deer that way. That happened. Well, so we went back and sat for another 20 minutes, and then he wanted to leave, and we left, and we went home, and we went out to lunch, and we were going to just rest the rest of the day. You know, we'd gotten up early. He was surprised that morning, and so we're going to rest the rest of the day. And so this is what he's doing all day. He's just laying around, resting, being a 9-year-old, having fun. I'm on his iPad, playing, making paper footballs and things, and just having a fun day. Well, it gets to be evening time, and I'm wondering, does he want to go back out? That was the plan, hunt all day, you know, take a break, go back out hunting. And I go to him, and I say, buddy, do you want to go? And he's kind of hemming and hawing, and so I kind of can tell that he's not really feeling it, and I don't want him to be pressured. You know, I don't put pressure on my kids to have to play sports or have to do whatever, you know, they want it, whatever their interests are, as long as it's moral and doesn't violate the Holy Ghost, we're good with it. And I'm like, buddy, if you don't want to go hunting, don't feel like you have to go hunting. I want you to know. And he looked at me and said, you know, Dad, I think I'm going to take the night off. Now, think about this for a second. Take the night off. It's been a tough day. I mean, he sat there for 3 hours doing nothing. He got to play on his iPad and play games and just hang around and eat food and go out to lunch. But he needs a night off. That's code for, Dad, I don't want to have to sit there again for hours and not see anything. Now, see, the problem is he has to renew his mind to the process of deer hunting in order to become a successful deer hunter. Yeah. Waiting is part of the process. Going through hours, going through times and seasons of patience and not seeing anything is part of the process. That's normal. The ones that usually are the ones that kill the most and get the best ones are the ones that can sit it out and wait there. Because normally most people do not have the patience or the skill to go through the woods to stalk deer. Because they see you, hear you, and smell you long before you see them. And usually what you see is the backside with a big old white flag hanging up, waving to you, sayonara, sayonara. And so I try to tell him, buddy, this is normal. This is normal. But what you need to understand, and the same thing with your faith and patience, that, buddy, you can't see everywhere, that down over the hill might be your reward coming in. And I tell him with hunting, everything can change in 5 seconds. It can change so quickly. I've been sitting there feeling like days of not seeing anything and just what is going on, and bam, chaos breaks out in the woods around me. And a huge buck walks in. It's like, in 30 seconds, my whole world's changed. Now I have a friend on the wall. He wasn't there. Now he's there. Everything changed in 30 seconds. I went from boredom and endurance to, oh my gosh, but it's over. Suddenlies can happen in your life. And they will happen in your life if you stay in the game. But if you get up, start walking around, those blessings are going to be running away from you. See, Caleb fainted yesterday. Now, I'm not down on him or anything. I understand he's 9. He's got to learn some things. But he fainted from what, how it would be the best to, and what didn't get a deer. This is the truth. That's how it works. People drop out all the time. Well, praise God. Go to number 2. Wow, 11:30 already. Let's quickly get through this. Number 2, 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7. I'll just tease you with this. Oh gosh, we have communion too. My goodness. I'll tease you with this. What is it? Pulled pork, ham, macaroni salad. You ain't going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. I got you. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5:7. This will help you though. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. You say, well, we've heard that before. No. You need to renew your mind that the faith process, which what is included in the faith process? Patience. The faith process is a process of believing in what you cannot see. What's that mean? That when you're in true faith, there's nothing on the horizon in the natural that gives you any indication that your money's going to change, that your body's going to change, that your children, that your situation, that your circumstance is going to change. That, in the patience process, when you're going through day after day, month after month, going on to year, and nothing's changing, if your mind's not renewed that to the fact that I'm not supposed to be able to see anything, that's what faith is. If your mind's not renewed to this verse, it will trip you up because you'll be looking to other things. You'll be looking. You'll believe that your faith's not going to come to pass because your paycheck is not meeting the needs of your bills, which tells me that your faith is not in your God. Your faith is in your paycheck. And when you start looking to your body and you say, well, the medication that I'm taking, it might take the edge off a little bit, but the doctors are saying it can't heal me and time's going on. That's telling me your faith's in your medication, not in Jehovah Rapha, yeah, the healer. You have to get sold out to know that when you're in that place of faith, I'm talking about your physical location, you're in there. Hell's all around you financially and physically and all the pressure. It's all around you. You have to know that you know I'm completely fine with this, knowing I can't see any change. I can't see any help on the horizon. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. I'm fine with that because the realm that I'm in doesn't see those kind of things. But if I stay in that realm, I will see the end result. You got to renew your mind to that. Because when you're laying in bed after months and your body's still hurting, I'm telling you by experience, I know the thoughts that come. I know the feelings that come. And they want to testify that you're not going to receive it because of how you're feeling. They want to testify your finances are not going to change because of your bank account. Come on. Go with me real quick to Romans 4:19. Romans 4:19. Romans 4:19, this is talking about Abraham. Remember, God told the old man and the old lady, you're going to have a baby. And the Bible says Abraham was not weak in faith. So we're going to get a look at somebody that doesn't have weak faith. What did they do when they didn't have weak faith? He considered not, he didn't take into consideration his own body that was now dead at 100 years old. What does it mean, dead? His heart still went, but the things to help make babies and the whole thing in the body and the Abraham's wife, Sarah, her womb was dead. The baby-making things. Listen, back then, there's no fertility drugs. Back then, there's no science in how to make babies. There's only one way. And it requires healthy bodies. And Abraham said the very things that naturally would be the light at the end of the tunnel or something to grab onto to say, we can do this and we're going to get it. They don't exist. And the Bible said he knew his body was dead. He knew Sarah's womb was dead. And he said, it doesn't matter to me. Because it's not based on whether or not there's something I can look out on the horizon to grab onto to say, to show me, yeah, this is changing. No, that's not faith. This is the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what you can't see. So when your body is on fire and just absolutely hurting and the symptoms, and there's no hope of change, a faith person doesn't care. When your money's going south and it's not going, faith person doesn't care. Because it's not the, maybe there's a promotion and then the promotion's canceled, the faith and you didn't get it. Faith person says, doesn't matter. So what that I can't see it? Faith, the faith realm is of the unseen. And it seems so elementary to say that, but that's where people trip up. Whether or not you can see it or not is not the determining factor of whether it's going to come to pass. Amen. 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 And I'm going to take you into the last part here to show you what is the determining factor. Number three. So number one, renew your mind that it's normal. Patience is normal. A time frame of it not happening is normal. And then the fact that in that time frame, everything's going to look opposite. You have to be comfortable with knowing that's normal. Because what people do is they start listening to the devil and listen to their body and I must not be in faith or it must not be working for me. And you fainted. A faith person says, don't care what I see, don't care what I feel, don't care what it looks like, I'm not moved. It's coming to pass. A faith person says, I don't care how long it's gone. I don't care how worse it's gotten. A faith person says, see, most people never get to this and that's why they don't get to the finish line. They're so moved by their circumstances. They're so moved by their feelings. I'm not moved by my feelings. I'm not moved by my circumstances. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I think. I'm only moved by one thing. And that's number three that you got to renew your mind to. And it's this. God cannot lie. So explain that to me. Well, I will. Numbers 23:19. I'll just read it real quick. It says, God is not a man. Thank God. Why? Men fail. Men lie. Men struggle. Men have weaknesses. Men have flaws. And Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man. And then it goes on to tell him qualifications or characteristics that he doesn't have that men do. He says, that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it, will he do it? If he's spoken it, the Bible says, he'll make it come to pass. What's he saying? When God says something, you can bank on it. You can take it to the bank. That is as good as done when God says it. Why? It's impossible. It's not that he doesn't want to lie. It's that he absolutely cannot lie. It's impossible. So when God says something to you, it is finished. Amen. Now, if your mind's not renewed to that, you'll let the circumstances tell you if it's finished or not. You'll let the symptoms. You'll let the noise on the outside tell you if it's done or not. No. I'm not moved by what I see, feel, think, or the thoughts, you know, that I'm having and what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling, I'm not moved by that. I'm only moved by what God has said. Why? He can't lie. Abraham's body was testifying against what God said, but God's way came to pass. Amen. Mary was told, you're going to have a baby without knowing a man. Naturally impossible. Natural circumstances testified against it. But guess what? Came to pass. Why? God said it. Go with me real quick to Romans 4:21. Romans 4:21. And Abraham being fully persuaded. Now, how did Abraham get persuaded? Because the verses before tell us that his body's dead. That his wife, the one that's to carry the baby, to get pregnant, carry the baby, and have the baby, she has a womb where the baby goes, is dead. How could he be fully persuaded? How could he stagger not at the promise of God? What was he fully persuaded in? What he had promised. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get to the starting line of faith, what got you to the faith starting line of excitement? You heard a promise that told you your situation could be different. That's why you got into faith in the first place. When you get to mile marker, whatever, week, month, year, whatever, what God had said to you at the beginning in the starting line has not changed month 6, month 8, month 10. See, the devil will start telling you it's changed, but when your mind's renewed to, no, patience is part of this, devil, you liar. I'm not supposed to be able to see it. It doesn't matter if I can see it or not. That doesn't change. The only thing that sways me is what did God say? And God's saying the same thing at month six as He was at day zero. You get your word at the starting line and you hold on to that thing until you come to the finish line. And when your symptoms start talking, you start talking back and say, I don't care what I feel. The word says this. I don't care what it looks like. God has said this. I don't care what I feel. God has said this. That's a faith person. Can I just give you a little bit of a tip? Why don't you stop listening to the devil and start listening to God? It's so simple. What are the devil's thoughts? Anti this. You're not going to be healed. Why would you listen to that? Oh, because time went by, but now you know that time's normal. Oh, why? Because you're feeling, well, now you know you're not supposed to see it. Your money's never going to change. Why would you listen to that? Oh, because it's been like that for how long? That's the determining factor. Oh, because you can see it in your account? Oh, you can see your bills stacked up to the ceiling? That's why it's not. Why would you listen to that? When God said, yeah, I'll do it. And the Bible says, I'm not a liar. Why would you believe Him? When you stop believing His lies, it disarms Him. The devil doesn't deal in truths. The devil does not attack you in truths. And just because, listen, I could tell you right now, I could have stood up here from now until 11:39, from the beginning of the service and say, 10 feet of snow outside, 10 feet of snow outside, there's 10 feet of snow outside, there's 10 feet of snow outside, there's 10 feet of snow outside, quiet now, there's 10 feet of snow outside, there's 10 feet of snow outside, there's 10 feet of snow outside. There's 10 feet of snow outside. There's 10 feet of snow outside. I'm trying to prove a point. There's 10 feet of snow outside. There's 10 feet of snow outside. There's 10 feet of snow. Wouldn't it matter if I said the whole time? You would have not walked through the doors thinking you would have saw 10 feet of snow. Just because I lie to you over and over and over again does not make it true. And just because the devil tells you over and over, you're not going to be healed. You're not going to be healed. It's never going to change. It's never going to change. The truth already told you. It's changing. You hold on to that truth. Who gives a rip what He's saying? Amen. Just stop listening to Him. Devil, when that thought comes, devil, you're a liar. God has said. And that will disarm him. But so many people just sit there and listen to it. And by faith comes by hearing. And they just listen. And they never respond. They never listen. They never fire back. They never counter. They never come back on the offensive. And they just listen. And they lay there. Oh, what if I'm not healed? Oh, boy. And then the faith comes for not being healed. And not being delivered. And not being set free. And not being changed. No. Just at the beginning of when He says something, the first time I say to you there's 10 feet of snow outside, you dismiss that thought. You don't sit there and think, oh my gosh, how am I going to get home? I'm not even going to be able to see my car anymore. No, it's a big fat lie. And when the devil says to you, you're not going to be healed. Your situation is never going to change. This is going to happen to your kids. This is going to happen to your money. It's a big fat lie right from the outset. And why don't you say, devil? See, that's what I mean. You get a promise. You can counter that promise with that lie. Devil, you're a liar. God's promised me and He will not. But it's been for a long time. Yeah, I know, devil, it's been a long time, but the Bible says faith and patience. It's normal. Yeah, but your symptoms. Yeah, I know, but the Bible says I walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't matter if I can't feel it. Yeah. Nana, nana, boo-boo, stick your head in doo-doo. That's what you say to the devil. That's what I say to the devil. People listen to him all the time. Just sit there and listen to him. Going through a mental warfare in their mind of just listening to the lies. Why would you keep listening to a liar? Just disarm him with the truth and stand on the word and just declare where you're going. Oh, I'm coming out to the other side of that devil and my life's going to be great. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, were you blessed? Amen. I'm just going to tell you the truth. You won't get this renewed in your mind by just hearing me say this one time. You need to go back and get this so in you. This stuff is so in me that when I'm facing things and I can't see that, I can't see it, I can't feel it, I don't care. I know what the word says. I'm good. I know what the word says. It'll carry me through. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. We're so blessed, so thankful, so grateful. Lord, you're good to us. You're kind to us. You're merciful to us. You love us so much. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done and everything you've given. Lord, you're teaching us to be more skillful with what you've given us. Inside of every single person here is the ability to get them to the other side of that issue that they're going through. To turn that sickness into health, to turn that poverty into prosperity, to turn that trouble into blessing, to turn that pressure into relief. It's all there on the inside. We just got to be skillful. And Lord, it's easy to get excited at the starting line, but we got to endure and we got to make it through. And Father, thank you for the words that you've given us today. Lord, I didn't come up with this stuff on my own. You put it on my heart, and it'll change our life. Thank you for it. We praise you for it. We glorify you for it. Now, anybody here, heads bowed and eyes closed, you want to receive Jesus for the first time? Please, nobody looking around. If you say, I've never received Jesus, I've never done this, but I want to receive Jesus this morning. What's it mean to receive Jesus? It means you get to go to heaven. I'm pretty sure everybody's born again here, but is there anybody in here you want to receive Jesus for the very first time? I won't embarrass you, I promise. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus for the very first time, you've never done it before, would you lift your hand high in the air? Anybody that's never done that? Is there anybody that wants to go to heaven that's never received Jesus? Anybody at all here? I don't want to admit, I don't want to rush this, but heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Again, I won't embarrass you. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. Don't miss out on this. Going to church won't get you into heaven. Because you were a good person, it doesn't get you to heaven. You've got to make a commitment to Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody at all in this service before we close that you want to receive Jesus before we close it? Just lift your hand high in the air. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands, so if there is somebody in here, I pray they would not go to hell and that they would receive Jesus before perishing. That's what Jesus, you said, Lord, if we receive you, we would not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, you don't want hell for anybody. Lord, they would not perish. They would not go to that place of the departed. Lord, they would receive Jesus. And if you're listening online and I can't see your hand, all you got to do is receive Jesus. John 3:16 tells you how. If you believe in him, just cry out to him with your words, declaring your belief. Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. If you pray that and mean it, he'll save you. And then you let me know. Call me, send me an email. That information's on the website. And we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church. Father, we praise you. Now, Lord, we're just so grateful for communion this morning. We're so thankful for what you've done for us and what your body represents. We don't take it lightly. Ushers, you can come forward and wait on the people. I just encourage everybody here to, this is a time of reverence and worship. It's not a time to just sit there. It's not a time to just to talk and to carry on. It's a time to seek him, to thank him, to be in reverence towards him. Lord, we worship you this morning. We bless you this morning. We glorify your holy name. Jesus, thank you for doing what you did for us. Thank you for paying the price that you did for us. We're so grateful and so thankful. Praise his holy name forevermore. Lord, we love you and praise you. We bless you and glorify you. The price that you paid for us was so high. What a sacrifice. And Lord, I'm even more impressed that the Father didn't make you do it. And that no human being killed you. They walked out the act, but you weren't killed. You weren't forced. The Bible says that you laid down your life and you have the power to lay it down and you had the power to take it back. You willingly did this for us. There was no manipulation. There was no you weren't coerced to do it. You did it out of your love and your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that redemption and healing and prosperity was your idea. And Jesus, thank you that you submitted your life and went to the cross to pay for our sins, our poverty, our sickness, to give us peace, to bring us into fellowship with the Father. Thank you, Lord. We're just so thankful this morning. Lord, I never want to take it for granted what you've done for me. I never want to take it for granted what you've provided for me. I'm going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 23, Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The bread represents the body of Jesus. Let's go ahead and break it and go ahead and eat. His body was broken, so ours wouldn't have to be. Lord, we're just so thankful that your body, we recognize why your body was broken. It was broken for our healing. And the Bible says in verse 25, "After the same manner he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes.'" The juice represents the blood. Let's go ahead and drink. Lord, thank you for shedding your blood. The remission of sins. You washed us clean with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet and just thank Him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I can't bow to the pressure of the time. I need to obey my heart. There's a healing anointing in here right now. If you need healing in your body, come forth. There's a healing anointing for it. And it doesn't surprise me when we talk about the body of Jesus and that healing's available. Just come up. Jeff will line you up and get you where you need to be. And now, for those of you that are coming up, this is your point of contact right here. This is your starting line. This is from this point on, we release our faith. And when I lay hands on you, the anointing, the healing anointing of God is going to go in your body. And what we've learned today is it doesn't matter if you feel it or not. It doesn't matter if your symptoms change or not. If you get an instant healing, great. But that's not the determining factor of whether you received. Whether you receive or not is whether you believe or not. And when I lay hands on you, I'm going to have faith that the power of God is going to go into your body. And you don't walk back to your seat checking the symptoms or lay there at night and think, oh, it's not working. No, 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 no. It's working. And after today's message, remember, some things are received through faith and patience. That just because Jesus' second miracle that he did with healing the nobleman's son, the Bible called it a miracle, and it was not instantaneously. It was a progression of time, and it was still called a miracle. It's not working if you feel the same or even worse when you leave. Amen? So just get your faith ready. Right now, I want you to say this. Say, Heavenly Father, when Pastor Mike lays hands on me, the anointing of God is going to go into my body, causing a cure. I thank you, Father, that I am free and I am healed of this. In Jesus' name, be free. In Jesus' name, from head to toe. In the name of Jesus, be free, Mary Jo. Head to toe. Head to toe. In the name of Jesus, be free, Jan. From head to toe, God wants to heal you. God wants to do it. From head to toe, be free in Jesus' name. That anointing right in there, right now. Yep. Praise God. Just thank you, Lord. And then when you get hands down, you just thank Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. I'm in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That healing power of God. Yeah, it's in there. It's in there. Head to toe. Head to toe for a cure. Head to toe. You just say, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, nothing's too big. In the name of Jesus, head to toe, Catherine, we call her healed and whole. Catherine, your job is to just declare it and declare it and declare it. Don't listen to those lies of the enemy. Don't listen to the lies of what your body's telling you. Don't listen to the lies of the symptoms. God's bigger. God's bigger, praise God. In the name of Jesus, from head to toe, be free. Be free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. From head to toe, be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Yes, 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 yes. Praise God. And from head to toe, Miranda, in Jesus' name, curse that sickness. You leave that body now in Jesus' name for you too, healing in Jesus' name. Head to toe now. Let go of your mind. Let go of your mind in Jesus' name. Just lift your hands high in the air and say, Father, I thank you for healing my body in Jesus' name. I'll just thank Him for it. There it went. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Awesome, Michaela. You just thank Him till it comes to pass. And it will. Let's just give Him thanks and praise. It's important you know that Pastor Mike is not the healer. I have no healing powers or abilities. But He does. So thank you, Lord, for testimonies. Now, for all of you that had hands on you, you look at me. Who gives a flutie-tootie what your body's saying right now? Who gives a flutie-tootie what your body says tonight? Who gives a flutie-tootie if your body says something contrary tomorrow? The Word says they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. It will come to pass. If you won't faint, what's fainting? Oh, I guess it's not working. You know what not fainting looks like after that? On such and such a day, at such and such a time, Pastor Mike laid hands on me. I released my faith. The anointing of God went in my body, and it's going to change, praise God. The healing's mine. I am healed in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you, and we glorify your holy name. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the changes that are to come, and we give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Praise God.